The old school bell tells us that it's time for session number 13 of the Warren County Radio Bible School. This school is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We begin each week with a Sunday morning Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., and an evening worship at 6 p.m. We also have a Wednesday Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I'm Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and you could call me the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Your teacher is E.A. Elam. Now, he has been dead for some time, and so what I am doing, so he can speak, is reading the Sunday school lessons that he prepared when he is alive. The lesson we'll be looking at today was prepared for January 28th, 1922. Now, in doing this, he has more material than I can cover in the 15 minutes of class time we have every day for this school. So sometimes you're getting the beginning of a lesson, and sometimes the end of a lesson, and sometimes I don't have enough time to cover all the material. So I'll just stop at the end of the time that we have, and we'll start there the next day. And the lessons really aren't too hard to follow. You don't always have to have the beginning of the lesson to understand the rest of it. And so we'll see if this works, and I think it'll work pretty well. The lesson for today is taken from 1 Kings chapter 21, verses 7 through 10, and then 16 through 20. And it has to do with the story of Naboth's vineyard. The title of the lesson is Elijah and Naboth's Vineyard. You see, King Ahab would look out of his castle and palace, and he'd look over and see Naboth's beautiful vineyard, and he desired that for himself. And in fact, he pouted because it was not his, and Naboth would not let him have it. So Ahab's wife, Jezebel, trumped up charges against Naboth and had him put to death. And after that, Ahab took possession of the vineyard. But he's not going to get away with this. The golden text for this lesson is Numbers 32:23. Be sure your sin will find you out. Now, let's go to see what Elam wrote about this. Here is his introduction. Elijah anointed prophet, or Elisha, excuse me, Elisha anointed prophet. Elijah, always promptly obedient to God, returned from Sinai and began the work of anointing Elisha, prophet, in his stead. Jehu, king over Israel, and Hazael, king over Syria. This work was not done at once and with Elijah's own hands. He found Elisha plying with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. There were 12 plows running in the same field. Elisha's father, or Elisha himself, must have been a wealthy farmer. Elisha lived with his father. It is worthy to note that he was at work and in the faithful discharge of duty at hand when called to succeed Elijah. Also, that he made a financial sacrifice to become a prophet of God. It is the boy or young man who knows how to do well that at which he is at work and is cheerfully doing it when called to a greater work. Elijah passed over unto Elisha in the field and cast his mantle upon him. From this and Elijah's mantle falling upon Elisha, when Elijah was taken up, 2 Kings 2, 9 through 14, sprang the familiar expression of the mantle of one falling upon another. Elisha understood that this was a call for him to follow Elijah, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah, and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." That is, bid them farewell. Elijah said, "Go back again. Go bid your parents farewell as you desire. For what have I done to thee?" Elijah did not mean by this that what he had done to Elisha signified nothing, but on the contrary, this was an important call which God and not Elijah had made. And while Elisha could return home for all necessary preparation, yet he must not forget his obligation in this matter. For, remember what I have done to thee. Elisha returned home and celebrated this call with a feast, slaying the oxen which he plowed and roasted it, their margin, marginal meaning, their flesh with instruments of the oxen. Then he left home and became a pupil of Elijah, 1 Kings 19, 9 through 21. Number 2. Ahab coveted Naboth's vineyard. This story is given to show Ahab's depraved character. Naboth's vineyard was hard by Ahab's palace in Jezreel, and Ahab wanted to make of it a herb garden. Jezreel was a town at the northwestern end of Mount Gilboa and several miles north of the city of Samaria. Ahab proposed to exchange for Naboth's vineyard a better one or to pay for it with money. But Naboth declined to part with it because God's law forbade his disposing thus of the family inheritance. You can see this in the books of Leviticus chapter 25, Numbers 36, and Ezekiel 46. Ahab returned to his home, it seemed, in Samaria, and putridly and sulkily rolled on his bed and pouted and refused to eat. Jezebel, upon discovering the cause of his moroseness, bade him arise and be merry, for she would secure for him the coveted vineyard. She was one of the most, if not the most, ungodly, impious, and daringly wicked woman that had ever lived. She spread whoredom and witchcraft throughout the kingdom and stirred up her husband to sell himself to do evil, 2 Kings 9:22 and 1 Kings 21:25. Her name is a synonym of wickedness and rebellion. Now here's the explanatory notes. Number 1, Jezebel's wicked plot to take the vineyard. Dost thou not govern the kingdom of Israel? The wicked Jezebel, intimidated by this question that Ahab was king and could take Naboth's vineyard from him, and if he could not, she could. Then she laid a most diabolical plot to have Naboth and his sons stoned to death upon a false accusation of blasphemy, and his vineyard confiscated. She wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal to the elders and to the nobles of Jezreel, ordering them to proclaim a fast and to set Naboth on high among the people, and to have two base fellows to falsely accuse him of cursing or renouncing God in the king, and then to take him out and stone him to death. The directions were imperative. There must be no parleying or hesitancy. This was a horrible conspiracy and a murder most foul to gratify the whim of a depraved character. What does this wicked and idolatrous woman care for God? Had she not many times committed the sin of blasphemy? How many sins, like hissing serpents coiled together in her heart as a nest? She knew only base fellows, worthless men, would perjure themselves, hence for those she called. A hypocrite, she used religion to enforce a lie and commit murder. Suborner, hypocrite, robber, liar, and murderer she was in this case. The legal punishment of blasphemy was death by stoning, Leviticus 24:16. But Naboth was as innocent as was Jesus. Jesus was accused of blasphemy because he said he was the Son of God, and on this false charge was crucified. Naboth's sons were likewise stoned to death, 2 Kings 9:26. That there would be no heirs. Number two, Ahab and Jezebel's sins found them out. The elders and nobles of Naboth's city, having received Jezebel's letters, acted as directed. They then sent the news to her. With much complacency and satisfaction, she said to Ahab, "Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive, but dead." She gloated over her success. Ahab then rose up to go down to Jezreel to take possession of Naboth's vineyard. While Ahab did not possess the cunning and daring of Jezebel, she stirred him up, 1 Kings 21:25, and in abject moral weakness, he was guilty of all the sins mentioned above. Hypocrisy, suborning witnesses, robbery, lying, and murder, of which she was guilty. His sins sprang more from that covetousness. They sprang from a prudent, morose, and depraved nature. The sins of Jezebel and Ahab found them out. While the news was going to Jezreel that her orders had been carried out, the black crimes were going to Elijah, but in different ways. Elijah receiving his news from God. The word of Jehovah came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Arise, go down to meet Ahab, the king of Israel, who dwelleth in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he has gone down to take possession of it." As Ahab stepped in to take possession, there was Elijah to meet him. Others may not have known Jezebel and Elijah's sins except themselves and those who executed them, but God knew them. So Nathan made known to David the fact that God knew his sins. God told Elijah to say to Ahab, "Thus saith Jehovah, hast thou killed and also taken possession?" God knew all. Elijah was to say further, "Thus saith Jehovah, in the place where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine." Now, who is one's enemy? Number three, Ahab said to Elijah, "Hast thou found me, O mine enemy?" Ahab had seen enough of Elijah to dread his presence. Ahab was Elijah's enemy, but Elijah was not his enemy. Elijah sought Ahab's good and the good of the people. To reprove one of sin and to point out to him the right way is true friendship and love. Too many, like Ahab, call him who tells them the truth their enemy. So people treated Paul. He asked, "So then, am I become your enemy by telling you the truth?" Galatians 4:16. Jezebel was Elijah's enemy and an enemy of all truth and righteousness. Elijah answered, "I have found thee because thou hast sold thyself to do that which is evil in the sight of Jehovah." All covetous persons sell themselves to do evil. All who do wrong in any way or in any way leave undone what they should do for money sell themselves and sell their souls. Esau sold his birthright for a mess of pottage. Judas sold himself, not Jesus, for 30 pieces of silver. So all who for the sake of fleshly pleasure or earthly gain do wrong, sell themselves and sell themselves to do evil. They that are minded to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and hurtful lusts, such as drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, which some, reaching after, have been led astray from the faith, and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. 1 Timothy 6:9-10. In the next class, we will finish this lesson. If you have a question, email or text me at wmhboyd.com. This concludes this session of the Warren County Radio Bible School, and as the old schoolmaster would say, you may now be dismissed.